Thank you. Sorry to Ben, Glenn, I think. Right. Well, first, let's start with something I just wanted to share. When I was on the floor at the back, and I was just chilling with Jesus. We was having a bit of a chat, and he showed me this just amazing picture, and it was just me and him, and we were, like in The Little Mermaid, yes, referencing The Little Mermaid here, and the blue background where they're like spinning around in the boat and it's like all girly and stuff like that. Me and Jesus were dancing there. I'm a bit of a romantic when it comes to that sort of thing. I love a bit of Disney, so I do. But I just kind of wanted to share it because of the word that was shared earlier, how much Jesus loves us, and I was like, man, I love Jesus. I love him. And he's like, we keep forgetting that Jesus, yeah, he's our father, he's our brother, he is our king. And, but I don't think we pay enough attention to the fact that he is the lover of our souls. He is everything and anything that I could ever want. And I don't, like, it's actual love that he has for us, and it's actual love that I have for him. Anyway, so today we're gonna get wise. Are y'all ready? Because I have no idea what I'm doing. So let's go. So we're gonna read from Proverbs chapter 2, verses 2 to 6, if y'all wanna get your iPhones out and do the thing. So, tune your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. Cry out for insight and ask for understanding. Search for them as you would for silver. Seek for them like hidden treasures. And then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord, and you will gain knowledge of God. For the Lord grants wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Amen. Amen. So obviously today I'm going to be teaching on wisdom, and there's a couple of reasons for that. The first one was I got told if I didn't preach on wisdom, I wouldn't be allowed to preach. And the other one is because we're all in journeys with God. I haven't been here all that long. If you haven't noticed, due to the baby face, I am quite young compared to some of the other leadership team here. I was reading Proverbs, funnily enough, and I came across Proverbs chapter 16:31, and that is, gray hair is a crown of glory, and it is gained by living a godly life. Hallelujah. So if you all want to have a look around here, look around the congregation, you're going to see a lot of godly lives here. So, we're going to be looking at how we acquire wisdom. How do we become wise? And I thought about this. I was thinking back to the previous sermons, and I realized no one has actually answered the question, what is wisdom? We are week four, people. This is the fourth week we've been doing Proverbs, the book of wisdom, and no one has said, this is wisdom. So let's define this. First of all, knowledge isn't wisdom. Knowledge is over here. Wisdom is over here. Knowledge in itself isn't practical. That's how I'm going to define this. Knowledge isn't practical. For example, I know that when I turn on a stove and it gets hot and I touch it, I'll burn my fingers. Wisdom is me making the choice to go, oh, I'm not going to go touch the stove now because I'll burn my fingers. And I was thinking to myself, how would I have described the difference between knowledge and wisdom a couple of years ago? So I came up with a couple of pictures to kind of help with the solution. So this is what knowledge looks like. You need a pair of specs to become knowledgeable. Everybody knows that. Like Dumbledore, Dad, he started wearing glasses. He's kind of knowledgeable now. And so this is what wisdom looks like. Yes, you need to grow a beard to be wise. And not just a beard, a gray beard, because of course, gray is a sign of glory. Which, of course, is why George R. R. Martin is the greatest mind of all. Anyway, so in my opinion, to be wise is to know how to live well. And I thought there's a number of ways that we can do this. And so I came up with this kind of diagram to kind of help explain it. So we can find knowledge ourselves. We can go out and we can find out things for ourselves. We can live life and we can do stuff. And that's just us. But we are only able to get this much. Only what's an arm's length of us is what we have for ourselves. But then if we go outside that, if we go and talk to other people, if we go and talk to elders or your friends or something, anybody else, and you gain wisdom from that, they have a little bit more wisdom. Dad has a little bit more wisdom than I do. Not that much, but you know, a little bit more. And then outside of that, there's God. And God is he's like the source of all wisdom. He is the source of all knowledge. And I've got up there Job 32, verse 8. And it's super cool because it says, there is a spirit within people that is the breath of the Almighty that makes them intelligent. Yeah? Amen? Amen? God gives us the gift of intelligence. We can go out and we can find out things by ourselves because God said, I want them to go out and I want them to learn. Church, we are designed to be clever. We are designed to be wise. We are designed to reason and we are designed to think critically. And this is a gift from God. So, how do we ourselves find out our gifts? How do we find wisdom by ourselves? And I thought about this and I thought the best way to do it is to study our Bible. Obviously. Okay. You should read your Bible, by the way. That's a message. Read your Bible all the time. So, I'll confess to you now, I'm not very good at reading, and I don't enjoy reading, and I don't read an awful lot, and I'm not very good at studying, which is what you should do. To tell you the kind of studying I like to do, I'm the guy that everybody hated in school, because a week before the exam, I'd rock up and I'd go, of course I haven't studied for the exam, it's been like a week. And then 2 days before the exam, I'll go, yeah, I studied plenty. I studied for like 20 minutes last night. I had my book open, and I just kind of looked at it. That was fine. And then I study for like 2 days, go into the exam, walk out, and I get a B. And I just go, yeah. If you are a student, don't study like that. It's a terrible idea. But in life, that's not going to kind of cut it, is it? It's not going to work, because our God is jealous for us. He deserves all of us. He deserves our time. Time is the currency of heaven, and he deserves all of it, and we should do all things through him. All of our life should be worship to God. And so our study of the Bible should be persistent. I was thinking of an example, because obviously this is not a great example of persistence. But when we look at the Bible, when we look at Saul before he became Paul, studied for 18 years in Jewish law. So 18 years of studying, sitting under rabbis, reading the Torah, all this kind of stuff. And then after the Damascus Road, he spends another 11 years being discipled in the ways of Christ. He learns. He's now under, who is he under, Dad's? Gladia, and all these kind of guys. And he's under them for 11 years. So we're now looking at 29 years before Paul is sent out to the world before he can begin his ministry. He had to study. He had to work for it. But he didn't do it by himself. He was in a community with other Christians. And that's what we are here. We are a community of Christians. So what I'm going to challenge us to do, and what I'm going to challenge myself to do, is keep yourself accountable to someone else. Get someone to annoy you by asking, when was the last time you opened your Bible? Because I need someone to do that for me. Hallelujah, Pina. Our strength is in our numbers. Our strength is in our wisdom. So let's do it together. Let's do it as family. Let's study together. And then we kind of look at verse 2 and 3, and it's about tuning your ears towards wisdom. And that kind of fits in with this idea of family, because we're looking for people to ask questions of, who are wiser than us, to help us along our journey. And I think verse 2 and 3, I'll just read them again. Tune your ears towards wisdom and concentrate in understanding. Cry out for insight and ask for understanding. It means knowing to look for wise people to ask questions of and to seek advice from. Now, I'm going to give you an example how me and Dad didn't do that. There's quite a lot of my stories are how not to do things, so you're just going to have to roll with it. And this time was the time that me and Dad decided it would be a really, really good idea if we did DIY. So we were trying to attach a whiteboard to a wall, which in itself doesn't sound that hard because it's just like drill four holes, slot it in, it's fine. That's what we thought. In reality, that is not quite what happened. And before we even started this, Mum kind of said to us, you know what, you should really just ask your Papa. Papa's good at this. Papa knows what he's doing. He's done DIY for years. He's got a beard. He knows what he's doing. And I was kind of like, nah, it's fine. My pride is like up here, man. I was just like, let's do this. And Dad was just like, yeah, we can do this. Now, to give a bit of example of our technical, I was our flat's handyman this year in university because I had duct tape. No other reason. I had duct tape. That means I could, you know, tape things together. And that was about the extent of my technical skill. Exactly. And that kind of explains how Dad's technical skills, he's kind of like a surprisingly intelligent orangutan when it comes to DIY skills. So we got started and we were on our way, and then an hour later we were kind of looking at our wall and we're going, yeah, there's five holes here. And one of them's like an inch and a half big. And what we actually sat and discussed for a good like half an hour was, what can we stick in the hole that would make the hole small enough that the screw would fit? So there was like paper in there, there was matchstick, there was like a marble at one point. It was, and Mum kind of just said, yeah, we should ask Papa. When we seek advice, come humbly, because Dad's sermon the other day, it was like last week. Pride, with pride comes a fall, with humility comes wisdom. But Papa was the obvious choice when it comes to DIY. But who do you go to when you want to know about life? Who do you go to when you want to know about like weird stuff? Like the big questions. Who is God? Who am I? All this kind of stuff. What kind of qualifies a wise person? And I thought about the people that I go to, and I go to Dad, because believe it or not, he's clever. And I go to Ali Robertson, and I go to Shona, and I go to Iris, because these are all people that I see as wise. And I thought, well, how do I know that they're wise? It's when I go and talk to them, they are real with me. They say, this is where I was, this is what I've done, but this is where I am, and this is who I am. And they can show that change in their lives. They know that they're not perfect, but God has helped them along the way, and they have pointed me towards God and their decisions. And when you look at these guys, you see good fruit. When I decided that I wasn't up for church, I didn't like God, I didn't like anybody, rawr, I still played squash with Ali Robertson. And I looked at his life, and I looked at him, and he was like, man, he's married at like 20-something. He's got a proper job. He's got everything I want. I want to be like Ali. And I saw that, and I saw that fruit, even though I wasn't with God. And at the time, I didn't know, but that fruit was God. I saw God working through his life. And so through different ways, God has kind of helped me back. And the kind of biggest thing that we look for when we look for someone that we can go to, we can ask questions of, is, are they in tune with God? Can you see them listening to God? I'll give you a biblical example of this one. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, we see God talk to Samuel for the first time. And Samuel doesn't go, hallelujah, God, what you got for me? He goes, crap, I need to go talk to my dad. And he runs to Eli. And Eli, because he's in tune with God, he goes, humble yourself before God. Lord, your servant is listening. And then Samuel goes on and he anoints the two first kings of Israel. Great things happen when you listen to people who are wise in the ways of God. But we can be wise in the ways of God ourselves. We can tune into God ourselves. If we look at verses 5 and 6, let's just look at 6 for just now. For the Lord grants wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. It's all throughout the Bible. God is the source of all knowledge. In James 1, verses 5, it says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will not rebuke you for asking. Ask our generous God, knock on the door, and it will be answered. So when I was preparing this sermon, I asked the font of all knowledge how to become wise. So we're going to do this, a bit of crowd participation here, on three. Who is the font of all knowledge? 3, 2, 1, Google. No? Google. I mean, obviously. Millennial right here. So I did actually type this in, and this is what came up. Hang on. Yes, there is a 7-step process to becoming wise, according to Google. Actually, it's a 10-way. I clicked on it. It's great. I mean, I'm a teacher. Am I supposed to know what an unlearning curve is? I have no idea what any of that means. I just kind of, oh, look at that. Does anybody know what any of that means? Oh, well. But I'm not, and oh yeah, I found this. I thought this was funny. I got bored at some point when I was writing this sermon, and I just typed in wisdom memes, and this came up. Hang on. It's great. You'll love it. I thought this was hilarious. So entirely worth it, making a poo joke in your first sermon. It's hilarious. Right, but I'm not saying that Grandpa Google isn't good and he isn't knowledgeable, but I'm saying, is he wise? Is Google practical? And isn't God better? Because he can walk with us, because he can show us, because he is a real physical entity, God can actually walk through us with in our lives, and we can seek wisdom together. And why is this the case? It's because he loves us. It's because he adores us. It's because he wants to see us do well. We are his darlings. And he loves us like David. I couldn't do my first sermon and not talk about my absolute hero of the Bible, King David. Because David consistently talks to God and asks guidance from God. Like, there was 20 quotes that I just picked a couple. And God consistently answers back. David asks, and God answers. And here's just, like, a few of the verses. In 1 Samuel 23, verse 2, so David inquired the Lord, saying, shall I go and attack these Philistines? And the Lord said to David, go and attack the Philistines and deliver Keilah. In Samuel 2, 5, 19, then David inquired the Lord, saying, shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you give them into my hand? And the Lord said to David, go up and I will certainly give the Philistines into your hand. First Chronicles 14:14, David inquired again of the Lord, and God said to him, "You shall not go up after them, circle round from behind and come at them from the basil trees." God gives very good advice because he's God. I can't make that more clear, because he's God. But do you want to know David's secret? That was a question. Do you want to know David's secret? Do you want to know how David got these answers and why, when he asked, God answered? It is because David was known as the man who was after God's own heart. Because David spent his life seeking the face of God. Let's seek the face of God. We're going to pray. Yeah, Father God, we just thank you for this gift that you've given us. We thank you for this intelligence that you've given us, because without it, we couldn't make the decisions. We couldn't choose to love you. And we thank you that all knowledge, all gifts are from you, God. Yeah, and we thank you for the people around us, the family that we have, that are there to support us through our journey, that are there to support us in everything that we do. And I just pray that more and more and more wise people come into each and every one of our lives. And I just pray that we become more in tune with you, God. I pray that we become more in tune with you, God, that we are able to delve deeper into your word, delve deeper into your heart, God. Thank you, Jesus. So I'm gonna ask you now, if you want to seek the face of God. Do you want to seek the face of God? Do you want to choose to go after wisdom? Do you want to choose to go and be the man after God's own heart, be the woman after God's own heart? The worship band's going to come up and do its thing. And I don't know if the ministry guys are going to do their thing. But what I got when I was praying for this is, come humbly. Come and seek the word of God and come on your face. So I'm going to go up the back and I'm just going to kneel and I'm going to put my face in the ground and I'm going to worship God, because that's how wisdom comes, through the worship of God, through the asking of God, through the pursuing of God. Amen.